Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes, Danny Brams, and we've got a special guest. Danny Brackett is here with us on this Sunday afternoon.
John, you're in a DB sandwich right now, bro.
At EPR, it's great to be here, guys. It's great to be sandwiched between you both.
Yeah.
And it's very comforting. It's like a hug after a really tough night in New England in the rain, not scoring any goals. Danny, it's great to see you today.
Yeah, it was a tough night. It was a great night. I walked out of Hot Fly last night and said, did we ever have so much fun losing? I mean, we really did have a good crew of people there and good quality conversations, a lot of commiserating. And I found some relief, some respite, some empathetic conversations helped me sort of get over the loss. But it doesn't matter. It was the most disappointing loss of the season. We'll go 24-hour rule on wins and losses, but I think we're still within the 24 hours. So I feel pretty bad still despite everything because it was a rough night.
Bracket, one thing we don't have to talk about tonight, which is really nice, there's no officiating decisions we have to talk about today.
For once, yes. We do not have to complain about the referees, which I hate doing anyway. Yes. So that's just like, that's not fun to do. But thank God they got off a strike and they paid the referees and there was no controversy. We lost and we don't feel slighted in that fashion.
Exactly right. It's like one of those losses where it just happens. You kind of deserve to lose. And we're here to talk about it today. If you notice, we're not at Hopfly.
I did notice that. Wait a minute. Where are all my Hot Fly beers?
We are at Elizabeth Parlor Room, and it's fantastic to be here at Elizabeth Parlor Room. Got great news, especially for the Blue Furia, who hosts their watch parties here at Elizabeth Parlor Room. We have Hot Fly, High Time, Vienna Lager coming on tap here very soon. So we're here to celebrate that. So anybody who's in the Blue Furia, just make sure at the next watch party or at the pre-match for the next couple weeks, right? Because Charlotte FC is at home for the next 2 weeks against Toronto and is it Minnesota?
I believe so.
The following week. Yep. The
Sunday match,
the Sunday match the following week. So we have two matches coming up here at home, and you can get High Time Vienna Lager at Elizabeth Parlor Room. That's something worth celebrating,
right,
isn't it?
Hot Fly and EPR, two of our favorite places in Charlotte, joining forces like that. Absolutely beautiful thing. Now, until the High Time does go on tap, because it was not on tap today, I'm going to be drinking liquor because I'm as Hot Fly as it gets now, baby. I've died in the wool. I drank the Hot Fly Kool-Aid, and so I love my Hot Fly beers, and I'm going to keep drinking those for now. I still do love my Notas and my Bird Songs and all the staples, my OMBs, but for now, I'm going to, on the show at least, I'm going to stay loyal to the partnership. I'm going to just drink some liquor. So I got an Old Fashioned here, and Pat, the other big Pat, makes me up a beautiful one, and I love it. He did not miss.
Yeah, Patrick here at Elizabeth Parlor Room does not miss. I think he might join us here on the show.
Why not?
In a little bit. Why not? He's hanging out today. I've got a Guinness. Bracket, what do you got here today?
Stella. Don't overthink it on a Sunday. Just something light to just enjoy. We had some great games on earlier today, and we have an absolutely instant classic with the MLS game going on right now, Sporting Kansas City versus Portland, a 3-3 game.
Right. We had so many takes when Portland was down 3-0 at halftime. We go, I can't believe they hired Neville. Oh, what a bum. And then now they're 3-3. So that's MLS for you. Except for whatever reason, we are never that team. Why are we never that team that like comes back and like has a bang up awesome second half after a bad first half?
Because we can't score goals. We'll get into that here shortly. But Bracket, you mentioned the Premier League slate today. We had such a great time watching here. You can hear Daniel Brackett and, of course, friend of the show, Matthew Geslin on Full Time Roundup, the podcast, European soccer podcast that you can find anywhere you get podcasts. And there's a lot to talk about after Liverpool's draw today against Manchester United in Manchester, a massive match that had a ton of Premier League implications.
Yeah, and it was like our match. Points lost, it felt like it was a draw. So we were talking about for a derby game, you throw the record books out the window, and a draw at Old Trafford's a good result. But when you consider just how the match went, obviously you can be frustrated. Me and DB are going head to head, 1-2 in the Premier League table. You are number one. I'm number two.
Yeah, I really am more worried about Manchester City than Liverpool. Don't worry about that. Good job, United, today. I want to get into what went wrong with us last night, though, because I just don't understand why this team can't finish. And we've got perspective from Dino we're going to play for you in terms of he thinks the team that we, he thinks it was a bad night. He's going to say, you'll hear a lot of things from him. Like, we deserve to win. He didn't say we were the better team. He said, we are the better team. He's like, he was mad because the team played like shit. He credited their effort, which you'll hear, but the fact of the matter is that was, we called that on our pregame show, a must win. There was people on our pregame show calling it a must win. I went with the unacceptable to lose, and we lost.
Yeah, not only did Charlotte FC lose, I mean, they lost in what I would call a whimper, right? They didn't even go down in a fight.
Right. That first 15 minutes. That first 15 minutes.
I mean, that first 15 minutes, when you think about it, right? I mean, it's one of those things, right? It's what it felt like that first 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, it felt like a little bit of a premature ejaculation.
Yeah, yeah. And the goals never came. So.
And when you put it that way, right, nobody feels good after that situation, right? It just things were great, and they were so quick.
There it is.
And nobody was satisfied at the end of the match.
No, exactly. It went a little too quick, and it was over way too fast, for sure. The frenzy. We did get going, and then at the end, we had no real urgency until the very end, as we see on this attack momentum graph.
No, you do. And even the commentator mentioned the body language from us in the last 10 minutes. Just, it didn't look like we wanted to go and get the win. Mm-hmm. And he commented on that. I couldn't agree more. We just didn't look interested in going to grab, you know, a smash and grab point after going down. And that was really frustrating after, you know, a first couple decent weeks for Charlotte FC.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so nice to go on the road and have a quick start, right? Mm-hmm. You feel confident. You feel good. But all of a sudden, you get 20, 30 minutes into the match and the home team starts to find itself. There was one chance that New England had that it seemed like once they got that chance,
yep,
right, all of a sudden they looked around the pitch
belief.
And they started to believe,
yeah, right,
you know what? We can beat Charlotte. This is a team we can get our first win tonight.
You're talking about that chance where they served a cross into Vrioni and Vrioni got the header on it and Kalina was kind of stone-footed. We were being generous and, well, he knew it was going wide. It went just barely wide, but Vrioni could have scored that right there. And from that point on, it was off to the races for New England.
Yeah. Thanks. By the way, Danny, thanks for putting these graphics together. Awesome to see that attack momentum.
Graphic design
here,
is my passion.
And on the show,
when I can steal it from SofaScore, even better. I've got some heat maps to show you in a little bit when we get into digging deeper into some of the problems. Thanks to everyone who's watching and commenting.
Yes.
Already seen some great comments that I just want to highlight real quick. Chief Kiefer, he's like yelling at my screen because we just kind of had no urgency in that middle part of the second half. Matt L is chiming in with some great comments. He says, Sasha Kleshchen was right. Deauger is not the answer. We are definitely getting to that. I was a little disappointed. I thought halftime subs were called for because it was so shocking that we had gone down in the half. And I thought this was a spot for halftime subs. I think Matt L agrees for sure there. But we got to really start. We're going to get to all this. We got to start with the Patrick Ojemong chance because that's the real talk. From our point of view, the talking point of that Patrick miss is really what it's all about.
Which
correct?
One?
He had the early one. He had the early one from a tight angle that did look worse.
Well, that was the open net.
Against a quote-unquote open net. I mean, guys were running back.
Yeah, it was.
He chipped it up. I mean, I think a first-time finish does the trick there for him. But then the one that really – let's play this one, shall we?
Yes. This is the chance. This is the second chance. It's a relatively tentative first touch by Ojemong there. You can run it back, Danny.
I'm running it back, baby.
A couple days. It's a chance for a one-time hit across the keeper into the far side. He decides to take a touch. And he absolutely an uncontrolled strike on the net there. And this is an opportunity for Patrick Ojemong to really put Charlotte FC ahead.
Right.
And give this team its opportunity to get 3 points on the road. Still hasn't happened yet this season. And quite frankly, I'm fucking sick of waiting for it.
Right, right. It's like, oh, but we're getting the chances. Oh, but we're getting the chances. Yeah. How does that feel to you? Like, when you hear a manager say that, Danny, like, we're getting chances. When you hear a manager say the same thing over and over and over again, when does it start to wear thin?
I'd say after 3 to 4 weeks, and that's kind of where we're at this point.
Yeah,
I'm
right,
drawing
exactly,
the line here.
Right.
No more excuses. And you hear him rattle off a minute of this and this happened, and I don't care.
Right.
We lost.
Right.
And it's like, it feels like this is going into sort of last season's problem as well. It's like the same narrative. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
The whole time is we just cannot put.
But
the
I wasn't here last season. But I wasn't here last season. I can't speak on that.
And that's just a cop out. I don't like it. We're a club. We have history. It's not like you came here and you just forgot, you know. The club didn't start over, basically.
And so. everybody was talking about.
In Dean's mind, the club did start over.
That is true, yeah.
I'm not saying, for what it's worth, I agree with you. And that this club did not start over. But in Dean's mind,
right. That's a very, very insightful point there. Like, he's kind of trying to come in with this blank slate approach. But Danny, as Danny says, we are a club with history. And you have to face that head on. You can't just say, well, I'm here now. The problem will be fixed. It'll be like, okay, what is the problem and how are we going to fix it?
It was the same thing with the extra time. Like the last second draw against Cincy, you guys were obviously upset about it, and he like had a completely different view because he wasn't here for last year with all the concessions. It's kind of the same viewpoint on this one. Now I do, you know, we played that clip here. If I'm the captain, if I'm Westwood,
sure,
I'm gonna take that on. I'm not passing to Pat with a bad angle.
Really? Because I think it's such a classy pass. I think it's a real classy pass. Let's look at it. He could have taken it on, but that's right to the spot where it needs to be. I mean, he's expecting Pat to first time that, right?
Yeah, that is true. That's true. The touch really took off.
He could have taken it on. I could have seen, he looked like he had space on the left there. He could have done a pullback, but then the guy behind you catches up. I can't fault Westford for the play.
It was a perfectly weighted pass.
Right. It was a good pass. It was beautiful.
I was just, in my head, I'm thinking left foot, a nice pass into the bottom corner, and you use him as a decoy almost to keep driving. But I understand it.
Well, we all know that Patrick Ajimong's family was in attendance, mm-hmm. as Danny told us on the pregame show yesterday at Hot Fly. I had a great time on the pregame show.
It was a really fun pregame. It was a good time. It was a good time.
It was an amazing time on the pregame show. And we talked about Patrick Ajimong, obviously somebody from New England, from Connecticut, played his college soccer at Rhode Island. This was a homecoming.
Should have been used to the conditions, you know, like playing in the rain, in the New England rain is probably no stranger for
him.
For
what it's worth, the conditions were absolute fucking shit.
Yeah. But we were both playing in them. I mean, I don't think anyone wants to make that.
No, I'm not saying that it was.
I did feel that our guys had a hard time early on, even in that first 15 minutes that we were dominating. The whole first half, weighted passes were having a huge problem. Like, our guys were having a hard time finding the weight on their passes in the rain and the soggy New England turf. It was rough. A lot of missed passes.
Can we show the Carlos Heel goal in extra time in that first half, just so we can get it out of the way and I can get some commentary in on that, and then we can talk about our players and the loss and Dean Smith's reaction, because I do want to give New England credit for stepping up and winning this match.
Well, I mean, you're the producer of the show, so of course we can.
Y Carles conduce, sigue el número 10, juega en corto para Nacho. Esto está 1-0 a favor de New England Revolution. Así respondió el 10, Pablo Mariño.
Porque lo mejor que hace es jugar con la pelota. Las protestas las deja de lado y a partir de él, siempre en ese guante que tiene del pie izquierdo, nace lo mejor de New England Revolution. De un ataque de Charlotte, una recuperación, una salida rápida. Mirá la que hace Brioni. Pivotea, toca el balón, va a buscar el pase. Nacho que la pide, Carles Gil que arma la jugada, Nacho que remata, el arquero otra vez enorme, y después la picardía del 10 para tocarla suave entre mil piernas, 1-0.
Eso mismo le iba a preguntar, ¿entre cuántos jugadores remató Carles Gil?
Y yo creo que entre 4 o 5 seguro, entre compañeros, rivales. Primero la pelota que saca Calina es enorme, mirá, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 jugadores. Increíble, tremendo, Los 10 son diferentes. La pelota siempre al 10 y que nunca desaparezcan. Por favor, que el número 10 del fútbol nunca se extinga.
There he is. He's Carlos Heel. He's the designated player, the number 10. He gets the job done for New England. There's a lot of things there to take note of in the build-up. First and foremost, Danny, was it a foul on Yuri Yurinen there before New England got the build-up?
I'd like to think it is. I've heard different opinions from people. I've heard Charlotte fans say it wasn't a foul. I've heard Charlotte fans say it was. New England had a really tough call where they should have had, probably feel like they should have had a penalty earlier. So calls go either way. I would have liked to see a call there. Dean, I think, did mention it. I cut some Dean comments that we'll listen to. I cut that part out because I don't want to hear Dean talk about the refs anymore. I'm just tired of it. So I wish the foul would have been called, but at the same time, they went all the way down the field. They set up a play. Kalina makes the save, and then the shot like sidewinds through three guys. It's a really bad luck goal, in my opinion, for all those factors and more. And even though I wish the foul had been called on them knocking Yere over, I can't be mad that it wasn't.
You mentioned the Kalina save. It was a good save that Christian Kalina made there. What happened on the follow-up opportunity? Where was he to be found in that situation? He didn't even make a move for the ball.
Yeah, I think it was more of just the defenders. We have, I think, three defenders around the ball.
Right.
You got to react. And I mean, whoever reacted goes, first the ball, was the goal scorer.
Like, whizzes right by Milanda's stomach. Like, it's like, and it's like, it curves, it goes wide of two of our guys and curves inside the third. Like, it's an insanely sidewindery, amazing shot.
Just unlucky. I mean,
right. When it should have been pinballed out of there, right?
Yeah, when it comes to Yeri, I just, foul or not, you just got to get the ball off your foot. I mean, your back is towards goal. You have an option. Just stop right. dribbling. Just pass it quickly. Get the ball off your foot and keep playing.
He held it a little too long.
So,
yeah,
like, so even if you get fouled right. in soccer, people will yell at you. Nonetheless, hey, let's speed it up. Yeah. So I don't know. It's unlucky.
I felt the team was slow last night, just in general. Just so slow.
It looked leggy
whole
for
game.
Sure.
Yeah. Whole game.
I can understand why you mentioned leggy. It's been a long 7 weeks for this club, seven games in seven yeah. weeks. And by the way, that's not stopping anytime soon.
It's only getting worse. Yeah.
Is really rolling at this point.
Check the schedule in May if you haven't yet.
The problem is, and I want to make this point now, right, is like we showed the Carlos Gil goal, and it's class, and it comes from their number 10. It comes from a player that is able to get himself in that position. We talked about Ashley Westwood's pass to Patrick Ajimong, how it was perfectly weighted. It was.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Gil's pass there was perfectly weighted as well. And then that shot was on frame, and he was able to be right in the correct position, pick up the rebound, and slot it home with his left foot.
And
right?
he made the really nice pass to his brother Nacho for the initial shot. Perfectly
exactly.
weighted. Yeah.
Yes, 100%. Right. So for me in this instance,
brotherly
right,
connection,
I'm starting to think about the goal issue, right? We named this show No Goals in New England. And I just wanted to bring this to the table today. And I think I need to go back on Twitter and find this response from our tremendous friend of the show, Len Cornacchia, who actually broke down
the
minutes, you know, over 600 minutes, and how many goals Charlotte FC has scored from open play. I got news for you. It's really fucking bad. And right now, as of this moment, seven games into the season, Charlotte FC has scored six goals. That is second worst in MLS.
I got news for you. We're even worse from the penalty spot. But yeah, it's a tough point to take, but you're right.
This team is not scoring goals, and New England's not scoring goals either, but New England got the winner yesterday from its designated player, DP.
Yep.
And as somebody that pours so much time and energy into this club and knows so many people, Bracket like yourself, and of course like you, Danny Brams, and all of our friends that come to watch at Hopfly, and all of our friends
there's Lenny's tweet,
that,
by the way.
That go to and here's the tweet, right? And only three even strength non-PK goals in 630 minutes. Like, I'm tired, man. Like,
right.
We're supposed to be having fun with this club.
Right.
We're supposed to be enjoying these matches.
Right.
And this team can't score. And it's really, really difficult
right.
for the supporters
we
right
need
now.
Goals. We need goals.
And that's what we pay our players to do, is
we
score
need,
goals,
we
especially
need,
the DPs.
We need goals against a winless team, even when they're in their place and it's raining and it's cold.
And you mentioned legs. New England played on Tuesday.
Right, right. Why were we looking
no
leggier
excuse.
Than them? Yeah,
there's
exactly.
No excuse.
Yeah, the great question.
We just didn't have the
point.
Juice. I don't get it.
Yeah, so that's where we are right now as Charlotte FC supporters. The goals are not coming. They're not flowing. The tap is not open. The good news is that on Saturday, maybe against Toronto and John Herdman. But Toronto doesn't give up a lot of goals. It's going to be tough to score against Toronto.
Well, they gave up four this past Saturday, and they don't have Insigne. So, I am the type of guy who will touch a hot stove twice, but I won't touch it twice within 1 week of each other. So I'm backing off all predictions. I'm backing off all, oh, we're going to smash them, because I drank the Kool-Aid. I woke up this morning and I felt like I had pie on my face. I felt like the biggest moron. The only saving grace was that I was not alone, that we all did it. Everyone in the fan base.
I thought you were saying you weren't alone this morning when you woke up. I mean,
well,
it was a good
we're
night.
We're working on that. We are working on that as well. But the just everybody was like, oh, we're going to smash New England. The 3-0s, the 3-0s, the 4-0s, the 2-1s. And I threw out 5-0 because I was kind of tipsy by the end of the show yesterday. But like, it just seemed like everybody felt like it was clear smash job in New England. So now that that didn't play out, and we can get into the Caleb Porter, D versus Dean of it all also. But like, I am swearing off of all predictions. I will not give a final score prediction for this Toronto match. I from now until Saturday night, and I'm waking up on Sunday morning and flying to Mexico.
Well, you know, after a couple fresh drop Friday beers,
I don't believe that for a second.
On Saturday, come around 5:45 Eastern time.
I'm just sick
when
of
we're the
hype.
Tail end of our pregame show. I'm going to ask you for a prediction.
I'm sick of drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm sick of like drinking the Kool-Aid and getting smashed in the face every fucking time. It's pissing me off. Every time I get super hype about our chances, we embarrass ourselves, and I'm just tired of doing it.
So you mentioned designated players, right? And Carlos Hill is exactly that. Enzo Capetti comes in as a substitute in this match. What did you make about his substitute appearance?
That header just haunted my dreams last night. I mean, he jumps 3 seconds too early. It's the chance, especially in MLS. Every time there's 5 minutes plus an extra time, I know there is a very good chance there's going to be a goal and a game tying goal, hopefully. And it fell to him, who we need to open his account for this year. And he just jumps early and just gets no oomph on it and just rolls to the keeper. And that was where Enzo could have made his name for himself, opened his account, and all the Charlotte fans are back on the Enzo train. And you know, it was a hard fought draw, and we're having a completely different show here today, but instead he misses it. Both strikers miss their chances, and now we just have a tough loss. Not great though.
It was the first game, we talked about this on the pregame show as well, that Dean Smith had to make the decision. Was it going to be Enzo Capetti at the nine? Was it going to be Patrick Ajimong
right
at the nine? There's a lot of discourse. I saw a back and forth on X this morning between our friend, Vaughn Pullman,
VIP
and a tremendous friend of the show, somebody that a guy named Jay Forrest on Twitter. I'm not sure who he is. I'm
love
not sure
Jay.
If I met him, but there was a really intense back and forth about Enzo Capetti and his ability to score 15 plus goals in MLS this season.
Yeah, it's a big number. Vaughn's sticking with it. It is a bit, we're running out of games every week, but
I brought that up because you mentioned 7 games.
Yeah.
And opening his account.
Right.
We're still waiting here.
Right. If you go 0 goals in 7 games, you're probably not going to get 15 and 30 something. So, yeah, I agree. I do think Jay – I hope Jay's watching right now. Jay and I disagree on a lot of things, but I respect the hell out of you, Jay, and you definitely stick to your guns, so I appreciate that. Can we hear from Dean?
Yes.
Can we hear what Dean had to say? Because
yes, I'd like
Dean
to
had some very interesting comments, and I see some commenters here in our stream that say they're ready for the Abada talk. Don't worry, I'm going to blow your minds with some Abada stuff in a minute, so stick with us. The good stuff always comes to the end on the show, but I think it's high time we hear from Dean because in his eyes, he quote-unquote, we should have won, and he's going to explain why.
I felt the better team lost, and if you don't take your chances that come around, then that can happen. I'm disappointed with the manner of their goal, and we never showed enough quality in the penalty box. We've had chances, but didn't take them, and we've had big moments and haven't taken them. You know, feels almost criminal that we got beat, to be honest. Listen, I can't question the attitude of the players and the effort they put in. You know, it was a tough game for them. You know, did we run out of steam a little bit? It was tough because once they'd got the lead, they just packed bodies behind the ball and made it difficult. So you know, we don't want to be just throwing balls into the penalty box and hoping for you know, to pick up second balls, because that's what their centre halves want. So we had to try and draw them out, and it was hard to draw them out because they didn't really want to come out and press, and you know, they were just looking for transitions in the second half. I believe we should have won the game today. I think it's criminal that we didn't win the game. They didn't cause us too many problems; we caused them ourselves. So, you know, I'm more disappointed probably with any result today. With any result this season, with that one, because it's a game that we should have won.
It's a game we should have won.
I'll give Dean Smith credit because in this press conference, he clearly was able to match the sentiment of the fan base.
Yeah. Right? He looked sad. Like, he looks like a drowned rat in that
puppy.
Presser. Yeah, for sure.
Or he just finished 7 or 8 runs at Stowe. in Vermont and on a cold, one of those April snow days that you're
trying to get into the lodge. Yeah, exactly.
He's hanging in the lodge. One of the two, but either way, I give him credit for matching the sentiment of the fan base, because you know he used the word criminal that they didn't win, which I thought that was pretty funny that he used that phrase in general. Danny, but what'd you make about those comments in regards to that Charlotte FC should have won this match? Do you think they should have won this match? Because I'm not sure that they should have.
I think he's kind of like getting, like, before the game, they should have won the match. On paper, they should have won the match, but they just didn't play up to their standard. And even though he did in those comments say, I can't fault the players for their efforts and their work, you can fault their execution. You can fault, they didn't get the job done. So, like, something is wrong. I know, like, I'm really digging. Everyone loves Dean. Dino's at the wheel. We've all, like, the culture change is real. Like, we wouldn't be this enthusiastic and excited about the club in 2024 without Dino. We could have the same exact results and we still would all feel like shit if Latanzio was still the manager. But like Dino, just in and of himself, who he is, creates an aura of positivity, and that's great. However, you got to have results, and eventually big talk, which Dino's a big talker and I like it, and I'm here for the big talk, and I absolutely loved when he told Caleb Porter, don't make promises you might not be able to keep. But you know what? Caleb Porter's players kept that promise for him. So it doesn't really matter. Like, eventually big talk does start to wear thin when it is not backed by results.
He's confident. Dean Smith has been confident
which is
ever
great.
Since he's taken this job.
Which is great.
And do you see any chips in the armor? Do you see Dean Smith maybe starting to realize that he has a great comment here from Abram about
Abram.
Dino starting to see the real difference between Premier League players and MLS players, LOL. Like, are you starting to sense that maybe Dean Smith has a real understanding of what he's dealing with?
After that presser, I mean, we've talked about it. He's very witty. He has jokes. He had no jokes in that press conference. You could see that loss. He was wearing that loss a little bit. And we'll see how they respond next week. But I could see, you know, this was the first time I hadn't seen him upbeat. I'm maybe not as optimistic as I once was. Obviously, this is a project. With a new manager and a new regime, and we're getting new players. But I do think this one hurt for him, especially as he did talk the talk, and we could not walk the walk.
Right. He was expecting a win when he woke up on Saturday morning.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
Well, he wasn't the only one expecting a win.
We all were, as we
That's
said.
A long
he drank
flight
the Kool-Aid himself.
Back to North
yeah,
Carolina,
exactly.
For sure.
No doubt.
Speaking about a long flight back, just you had a chance today, brackets, to catch up with George Marks here. We're hanging at Elizabeth Parlor Room. George Marks and Andrew Privet up the street here at a local pub as well. You got a chance to see them. And what was their vibe when you saw them earlier today?
Yeah, they were coming in watching some Premier League games. I've known George for a while back when we were in the youth days. But I just basically was like, hey, that was a tough loss. But the weather, you know, obviously didn't look ideal. And he was just telling me how terrible, how cold it was and the wind and the rain and everything. And we talked about the turf. I thought turf's supposed to drain a little bit. It didn't look like it was draining very much last night. But yeah, obviously, didn't want to dwell too much on the result when you get to see a player. But I think they're going to look to bounce back next week for sure.
We're home. We're home for a good stretch. I mean, I think like something like 7 of our next 10 are at home or something like that. Maybe even 7 of our next 9. So like things are going to
There's
get
five
back.
Home matches in May.
Yeah, May is
in May. Wow.
May Day. May is going to be absolutely insane, y'all, especially on this show, by the way. So you're in the right place. I don't know. I think it's time to deal with another big problem that we had last night, which is our new designated player who we were all so excited got his full debut, got his start. And he had a little bit of a flare in that first 15 minutes. Oh, my gosh. But he's part of the premature ejaculation crew himself because he absolutely disappeared, completely vanished after that first flurry and was rightfully subbed at halftime.
Right. I don't want to overreact to this. Right. I think this is really important because Leal Abad is somebody that's coming into this league. He's somebody that Charlotte FC is going to really count on to score goals.
Of course.
His pace is really important. And, yeah, his full debut, if you will. So he still hasn't gone the full 90. Came in, played 30 minutes against Cincinnati last week. Yesterday, he plays 60 minutes on the road at New England in really adverse conditions. But these aren't conditions that he should be meeting for the first time. These are conditions that are in Glasgow
right.
10 months of the 12 months of
right.
the year, right? And I'm not saying that with tongue-in-cheek. I mean dead serious. That, you know, most months in Glasgow are not the best – weather in the world.
The weather should not have been a factor for Abada.
Exactly. And he was a bit invisible on the pitch. There's no doubt about it. He had a really difficult time finding the game. He had a really difficult time growing into the game. And as a right winger who adds pace, that shows up on the back post, that makes late runs, and I put him in the same basket as I do Patrick Aujamang, in that service into the box is really important for both of those players, and it's just not happening.
Dan. Right. I mean, as Abram comments here, Abada's reputation at Celtic was the guy who ends up at the end of a play, who pops up out of nowhere and all of a sudden finishes right at the end of a play for sure. So we definitely need to see it.
We need to see it. The lack of service is like legitimately concerning. The lack of service is not just concerning. It's alarming. It's like really a problem.
It is, and we saw a little flash of what he can do. I can't remember. I think it was Jalen Lindsey gave him a cutback on the top of the box, and unlike some other players, he didn't hesitate. Touch shot. Good shot. It was a parry from the keeper. I think that was within the first 15 minutes of the game, of course. But yeah, no, I mean, you mentioned how he disappeared, and maybe there was a little bit of a tactical view that caused that. Do you want to expand on that?
Yeah, I actually do. And I want to ask you, as someone who plays a lot of soccer, how you would feel about this. I want to shout out a quick comment from Christian Stivison here.
What up,
just
Christian?
Tuned in. Copetti should have started. There's some merit there. We will have that. We will get back to the Patrick versus Enzo conversation at the end of this episode.
They're teammates. They're not good. They're not versus each other.
Okay, Patrick and Enzo conversation. But I just want to say, I shouted this out because Christian Stivison, thanks for being part of the pregame live stream yesterday. Saw you jumping in and on the viewership. And Christian had commented that Nick Finelli was like, he couldn't hear us. And Christian commented like, hey, you know, AirPods exist, buddy. I talked to Nick. Nick said he apologized. His AirPods, he had them there, but they just wouldn't connect to his phone. Something was wrong in the cold in New England. So Nick did think of AirPods, Christian. So just, you know, give him some grace on that one for sure. But love to have you here today. I want Brackets mentioned the tactical view. Here's what I got. Because when you're playing soccer and they say, hey, you're the right wing. Uh-oh. We want you to go in there and be our right wing.
I know where this is going.
Be our right wing. And we got a guy who's a cup winner in France who's going to be your center attacking mid, and you're going to play with each other, you know, sort of in the middle and the right of the field. Well, what ends up happening? They end up in the same damn spot the entire game. I don't know what to think of this, but Brecht Diagra was all up in Leal about his business on the right wing here.
Did Dean Smith tell Brecht Diagra that he was playing the number 10 position? Or did he think that he was playing right wing in the same position?
Because I thought he was a 10.
Against Cincinnati.
I thought he was playing 10. Or maybe 8. But even at 8, this is not right.
I'm really confused because I play center mid most of the time. And there is nothing worse than having someone in your space. Like you need, especially if like you're Leo Abada, you're supposed to be the guy. You don't want someone else playing your position. There's certain space. And if two guys are occupying the same exact spaces as we're looking here, I mean, that means one defender is occupying two guys.
Yeah.
That is just not how it's played. I don't know if Dean was harping on that tactically of maybe an overload on the right side with Brecht and Leal, but it did not work. And I can't believe they kind of shifted that and maybe let Westwood play more on the right side and Brecht on the left side and see if that connection was a little bit better.
Well, I'll pop this up. Then I'll change the screen.
Wait,
and then we'll
come
back
this,
to it.
Let me just say, this is one of the best graphics I've ever seen on our show. This is awesome.
Looks great.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you, man. It's a lot. There's a lot of love flowing in this room right now. I'm going to hit you with another one because, boom, how about Deani and Westwood?
Wow.
So here's what ends up happening is Westwood and Deani end up owning all the middle space but not up to the box. And we never have anyone in that crucial space really between the penalty spot and 30 yards outside the goal where Westwood kind of, you know, stops with his presence. And it makes me think. It really makes me think, looking at all of this, I'm wondering, was this really a situation where our midfield needed to be Deani, Westwood, and I'm going to go on camera for this, Deani, Westwood, and Bronico maybe needed to be the starters of this match because we're playing a counterattack. We have Abada, Patrick, and Kerwin. Do we really need Brecht as part of the attack at that point? It really should have been about just shutting down heel and giving Westwood the chance to advance and let Westwood play in that 10 role. Because you saw the great pass he made to Patrick, the perfectly weighted pass on the chance. And it's like, we've been talking since preseason about Westwood getting more advanced. This just seemed like, I'm not going to second guess the lineup. I thought the lineup was great when it came out, so I'm not going to flip-flop. I got a flip flop story to tell later about the hot fly party. That's pretty funny when we get to the end. But I just think hindsight 2020, man, you put Bronny and Deani as the double pivot and Westwood in front of them. And then we're not having a problem of our number 10 drifting out to the right wing the whole game.
The point of the 10 position sometimes is to have that late run into the box. Like, you send it out wide. Pat's making a near post run. You're making the back post run. Or you're on top of the six for the cutback. And from those heat maps that you were showing, there was no movement on top of the box. When Arfield got in, you saw him in the middle picking up the pockets of space in the middle. But Brett was nowhere to be found in the middle of the park. And I just am so confused. Who... If he decided that, if Dean decided that, or I just don't get it.
I'm glad that this topic has come up, Danny, and you've done such a great job setting up this segment. And it reminds me of a question that I asked Dean Smith in the first week or so of the season about Ashley Westwood and Ashley Westwood being a threat in the final third. And when you look at this heat map here, you ask yourself, okay, if Dean Smith was managing, let's just say, Burnley, right, and Ashley Westwood was in his side, this would be a really great heat map for Ashley Westwood in a Premier League match playing for Burnley against some of the top sides in the world. But in MLS, Ashley Westwood is better than most players on the pitch every single week.
He should be better than Carlos Hill. Carlos Hill washed out of the EPL and absolutely bombed.
Why isn't Ashley Westwood the number 10 on this team? I can't figure it out.
That's why they paid Dean the big bucks. But I will say one thing. Guess who does have a goal this season? Ashley Westwood. And it was an absolute peach of a finish.
Yeah.
Running on in the second run, making that cleanup play like Carlos Hill did against us. That is what a 10 does.
Yeah.
You get on the action, you get the knockdown balls from the striker. That is your job. And I just didn't see any of that until Scotty Arfield came in the game.
And I get that Ashley's a little older, but the fact is he's absolutely been reinvigorated physically, psychologically, and emotionally by his trip visit, like by moving to America, and he's like ready to go.
Let's just be real. Like Ashley Westwood, he's on the tail end of his career. He said he wants to play to 40. Congratulations, go after it. He's got a great body. He's in good shape. And he potentially has the ability to do that. But do you want to end your career playing defensive midfield in MLS?
No.
Or do you want to play an attacking number 10 with Brant Bronico and Jabril Deani behind you covering your ass?
Right.
And you don't have to worry about sprinting back 70 yards to make sure that you're supporting the center back.
Right, exactly. Let Bronny make that run. Bronny loves to run. And shout out, by the way, Chief Kiefer points out, why not Urso? I'm saying Bronny, Urso, or Bronny. I think that would either one of those would have been fine. I would have been totally fine with Urso in the role that I'm describing for Bronny also. I just think Diagro was a mistake in this lineup last night. In hindsight, again, I loved the lineup when it came out, so I don't want to be super flip-flop guy, but just like...
Right. Well, you want to give Brecht an opportunity, right? Because he's the guy that has come into this season as the central creative attacking midfielder, and it's only the seventh game of the season.
Sure.
You don't want to make these sweeping assumptions after six games and put Brecht on the bench. But ultimately, it feels like Brecht Diagra is somebody that just can't get the job done in MLS. And I think a spell on the bench would be really good for him right now.
Has Ashley Westwood been pigeonholed by last season being the six that everyone just thinks he's a six now and can't play the 10?
Well, Dean wasn't here last year.
I don't know.
I mean, he played box to box in England, right? So it's just like, I don't know. Like, I'd like to see him just. I just think he has the power in him to be the Carlos Hill for this team. I really think he does, just because of his talents.
I agree.
Because of his class.
Yeah,
and
Carlos Hill doesn't think about playing.
No, he doesn't play defense at all.
At all.
Right.
And Ashley Westwood needs to get that in his mindset and be put in a position that says, "Hey, you've got class. Play the 10. There's no reason for Ashley Westwood to be tracking back in the 75th minute when we need a goal."
Well, I mean, he's going to do it because he's a captain and because he's a grinder and he believes that he needs to give max effort. But, like, let's free him from some of those defensive responsibilities and let him show his playmaking abilities more.
Yeah,
and finishing.
We've talked a lot about Ashley Westwood in the final third. We need to see more of it, basically. End of the conversation is I would like to see him, you know, get in on that 10 position and score more goals for us.
What we can't have, guys, is this. We cannot ever – I never want to see this again, personally. Abad is more inside than Brecht. really, in the red spots. So,
well, I guess Breck did go out wide at the end. Maybe is that kind of affecting the chart at all?
When Scotty came in, it might be affecting me a little bit, but we were feeling this. I looked up the graph. I saw what I was seeing with my eyes, and then I looked up the graphs later for sure. But there is a little bit of that, I will grant, but still.
Right. What other elements do we have on the show today? Anything that we haven't gotten to?
Let's get back to a little bit of the future for Patrick Ojemong. So we talked about the big miss. We showed the big miss in the second half. We didn't even show the big miss in the first half. We don't want to get kicked. We don't want Apple to kick us off the stream again like they have done a couple of times. So
we're playing nice today.
We're playing nice. But I do have a nice long rip of sound from Jalen Lindsay and Dino talking about Pat. And to set this up, you guys tell me if this is just good PR or something else, but everyone that was at the post presser last night, Dino finishing up. They're like, "All right, guys, Captain Ashley Westwood will be coming to speak as the player representative in just a bit." So everyone's like, "Okay," thinking of what do we want to ask Westwood? You know, getting their Westwood questions right. Screen pops off. Jalen Lindsay sits down to answer questions, not Ashley Westwood. So I think it was kind of like they knew it was a rough night. Jalen isn't a guy that no one can attack because it's his first start of the season. And he's a good kid. And he also had some really good things to say. So maybe they just knew that he was going to say some beautiful things. So let's play what Jalen and Dean had to say about Pat and then get into who we want to see starting against Toronto.
That's pretty funny, actually, because I was actually just talking with Patrick, obviously, in the locker room. You know, obviously, he's very disappointed with a couple of chances that he felt like he should have had. You know, but I told him to keep his head up because – I mean, we still have 30-something games left. You know, obviously, I know those chances are crucial, but Pat is still a young guy. He's still, you know, learning. He's still going to make mistakes. He's not going to be perfect every time. This is what I kind of told him is it's not just him. He wanted to take full responsibility, you know, for the loss tonight with his chance that he missed. But I told him that we had other chances as well. You know, other players like myself could maybe, you know, produce more to him. Or others could have produced as well. But it's not just him. And I told him to keep his head up because this gives him more motivation for the next week, you know, to work on those little details that are crucial for the match. Patrick has that hunger within him, which I really like. And, you know, obviously me and him challenge each other in training every day. So obviously this week I told him that, look, just work on the little things, you know, 5 minutes after practice and, you know, work on those crucial things that's the power of making mistakes. You're young, you're going to make mistakes. So just make sure that, you know, obviously the next one you make it count.
Yeah, Patrick's done well the last few games. And in all honesty, for the first 20 minutes, their centre-half didn't know what to do. They couldn't live with him. He could have scored a couple, you know, and he was causing them no end of trouble. You know, but unfortunately, you know, he hasn't taken his chances and, you know, probably affects, he's a young man still. And what he needs is our support. Because he's giving teams problems, and we'll keep supporting him, keep working with him to keep developing him. He's giving people lots of problems, you know, but he'll start taking his chances.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, Pat's been, you know, obviously a big vital role with us so far in this season. And, you know, we needed more, especially in the first half, you know, first 20 minutes or so, we were finding his feet, we were finding him behind. And we were creating chances, then we kind of fell away from that just a little bit, which we need to keep fitting Patrick more, because especially I know center backs in this league don't want to play against Patrick because of just his size, athleticism, and his hunger to obviously win the ball and score goals as well. So, you know, obviously, especially like I said, it's not just him. It's, you know, obviously our midfield and our back line. We need to help him, you know, produce to him more to get more chances for him.
It's so nice to hear Jalen Lindsay, and whether it wasn't a PR decision to put him there, Danny, Jalen Lindsay is a homegrown player, even though he's like not technically that, right? It's tough.
He's one of our own. He's one of our own. Jalen Lindsay. He's one of our own. Hell yeah. I mean,
that's the real talk when it comes to Jalen Lindsay, right? It's like he is so well-spoken. He represents this club in a way that is admirable.
He should give every post-game presser.
And to hear him speak that way post-game just makes me feel like we've got a guy on this team, a young man on this team that really represents this club in the way that I would hope.
here's what I'll say. It's a long ways away, but Jalen Lindsey has a future as a coach someday. No matter what happens with the rest of his playing career, like, this kid is way too smart. He's going to be a coach or a GM or something at some point, for sure.
There was a comment there that we...
Or TV commentator. Yeah.
He could do either one. Yeah. And by the way, Jalen's a great kid, too. He's a great guy.
And a tremendous friend of the show.
And a great friend of the show, 100%. And, you know, for me, right, he's talking about Patrick and Enzo Capetti and this strike partnership, if you want to call it that, a partnership, right? Both players are really not playing together. It's one or the other right now. So if you fast forward, if you spin this forward to Saturday, you're at home against New England. This club needs goals. What lever should Dean Smith pull?
Man, I like, my head is spinning just thinking about the question, but I think in my heart of hearts, I want to see Abada and Enzo start against Toronto. I love Pat. I'm cautious about benching Pat off of a bad performance where he's already blaming himself. You heard Jalen say Pat tried to take full responsibility for the loss. That's absurd. No one player of 11 is ever fully responsible for any loss. Even a goalkeeper that sucks is not fully responsible. So I will hate if you think you can manage Patrick's psyche and you're not going to damage him. I just feel like Enzo comes in, and if Enzo has a good week in training, I think he's back starting against Toronto.
I'd agree. At the end of the day, Pat is a young kid that you drafted. He's got time, right? Who doesn't have time? Enzo Capetti. He's on the DP contract.
Yeah, exactly.
He hasn't scored a goal this season. He didn't have a good debut season last year. You need to figure out if this guy is going to be a Charlotte FC player after the season. So you got to play him as much as possible. With Pat, he's more of a project player. We can figure out, you know, if he can be that starter eventually. But for now, you got to just leave the cards where they are and let Abada and Capetti play every game and see if they're the guys.
It's a really fascinating discussion. I wish that both of these players could play at the same time.
Dean has mentioned it's possible, but I think that would see Enzo on the wing. I don't think he'd play him as a double striker.
What about a 4-4-2?
Don't tempt me. Do not tempt me with a good time, sir. I will go with a 4-4-2 any freaking time, dude.
I mean, it's
come
simple.
On now.
I mean, why can't put that back up there, Dana? I mean, it's as simple as it gets.
Right. I see a 9.
Football heritage.
Yeah.
Football heritage here.
Why can't we play with Enzo Capetti and Patrick Aujamong up top together there in a 4-4-2 system where if we can't score goals with one of them on the pitch, let's try to score one with both of them on the pitch.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you need goals, it doesn't hurt to just throw extra attackers out there.
That's
right.
My point.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where does Leal Abada fit in that picture? I think that would be a really good question. But at the same time.
Wait, hear me out. Leicester City, when they won, they played a 4-4-2. Jamie Vardy and Okazaki or Ojoa, a hold-up striker and a striker in behind, kind of like Pat and Enzo are. Then you have a Mahrez or a Leal Abada on the right side, and then a left wing left mid, who's more of, you know, does a little bit more defensively, like
Kerwin.
Albrighton used to do. Kerwin Vargas,
Kerwin tracks
maybe.
Back. Kerwin tracks back
he does
very
track
effectively.
Back.
Yeah.
We haven't talked a lot about Kerwin. He was pretty poor last night.
Had a bad game, but the discourse is still protect Kerwin Vargas at all costs. I'm not here for negative Kerwin takes yet.
Yeah,
yet.
He still comes up with, you know, a great cross at the end when it matters.
He also served up a beautiful cross that should have Enzo should have buried that thing. Like, Enzo needs to slide and toe poke that thing home, because that was a sublime cross from Kerwin in that moment when we needed it most, and no end product.
I tweeted out I had very high expectations for Kerwin Vargas this year, and he has not delivered at all, in my opinion. And what I
really
expected.
Think the penalty thing was a total screw up, because he was having a really good game that game.
Yeah,
remember, and
yeah,
just
he's
the
very
whole,
good at home.
Yeah.
I expect him to play well at home. This
you know the movie Sliding Doors, like how Gwyneth Paltrow, like, she misses the subway, the doors close on her, and that completely changes the whole course of her life. There is kind of a sliding doors moment of that penalty that Capetti gave to Vargas. And it's like, if Capetti just steps up and buries that freaking penalty himself, then he's probably got 4 goals this year, and we probably have another win and an extra draw, and we're probably top of the freaking league. I mean, it's crazy.
What could have been?
Yeah. Can't prove a hypothetical or a counterfactual, unfortunately. But
it's really interesting to think about a 4-4-2. I don't think Dean Smith is going to change yet, but ultimately – when you start thinking about, again, I'm going to repeat this, is that 6 goals in 7 games is second worst in MLS, right? And when I hear about Dean Smith and I hear about and I talked to national pundits, if you will. We've talked to everybody on MLS 360. We've talked to some play-by-play Apple hosts, and we talked to some analysts as well. And they've all kind of echoed the same thing, which is that Dean Smith has Charlotte FC set up very practically, right? Mm-hmm. And very simply.
Simplify the system. Pragmatic.
And he's been pragmatic, right? And Charlotte FC, for what it's worth, hasn't given up a lot of goals. I think they've given up 7 goals to scoring 6. So while it's really nice to not give up a lot of goals, it just feels like something needs to happen, a spark, a change to start scoring goals. And I'll start with this, right? Is that if you go back and watch that match, you'll start to see a lack of service that, again, is just astonishing. There is no quality balls into the box. There are no quality balls coming from anywhere out on the wing. They are just flung into the box.
Right.
People are not actually trying to make a pass. They're just trying to put the ball into space, which works sometimes at the end of the match. But
yeah, I mean, I'll stand up on that Kerwin cross and that Jalen cross from like in the final 10 minutes.
But that's the game's 90 minutes.
I'm with you. I'm just saying.
But you can't pick two crosses and be like, oh, well, you know.
Well, you said no. You said there was no service in the box. You can say there's hardly any.
Yeah.
There's inconsistent. I'm just trying to.
Okay, let me.
I'm just trying to not be a flip flopper because I was accused of being a massive flip flopper last night at Hotfly by a tremendous friend of the show.
Who accused you of that?
Joe, great, good old Joe, and I was fine. I wasn't mad. Joe's a great, tremendous friend of the show. Like, remember? So this is a great story. Joe and Taylor and what's this called? Plan B. this trio of guys. They were at Dilworth Grill.
She got a photo of this guy.
They were at Dilworth Grill, and they said every TV was turned to the NC State Wolfpack game, and they said, "Oh shit, we got to watch the Charlotte game." Oh shit, of course, Hotfly. They listen to every episode. So Joe, I had met this guy once before. He's good friends with a coworker of mine, and he was like, "Yeah, Danny Brams, I listen to you all the time. You flip flop on everything." And I was like, "Ah, ouch. Guilty as charged, maybe, but you know, I'm not here to give you the most insane, on fire, accurate takes. I'm just here to make you have a good time, baby. That's what I'm here for.
I don't think you're a flip-flopper. Yeah, yeah. I don't think you're a flip-flopper. What I do think is that Joe, I got to tell you, man, it was a pleasure meeting you.
Yes,
Saturday time. Night. One of the most epic Charlotte FC kits I've ever seen. I'm not going to go into detail exactly what it means and what you said about it. I don't think it's appropriate on the show, but it's a great kit. If you ever see somebody walking around with a Plan B on the back of a Charlotte goalkeeper kit, that's Joe.
Wish I was there to see him.
Yeah,
it was amazing. But having said all of that, I just think this team just needs like just that get over the line, you know, and I think simplifying it actually is good. We had a comment in here who said just run a 3-4-3. I mean, Christian Sivison wants to see a 3-4-3. I don't know how you feel about that, but I mean, something to get us going. Like at this point, we need sort of like a radical change because we really run the damage. And Chief Kiefer comments, by the way, I said I wasn't ready for the Kerwin takes just yet.
What's up, Keith?
And our boy Kiefer says we're pretty close to those Kerwin takes, as much as I hate to say it, Danny B. And he's had a little bit of a rough go, but he was so bright and lively for that first 30 minutes against NYC, yeah. Like before the penalty thing kind of got in his head. Like, but simplify, cut it down to root one, you know? Kalina, kick it deep and get the ball to the striker. Let's go.
You're going to see that on Saturday against Toronto. There's no doubt about that. There's going to be a lot of long balls deep to Capetti, deep into Abada, and that's going to be Dean Smith's tactics on Saturday. There's no way that he's playing ticky-tack against John Herdman in Toronto on Saturday.
No shot. But someone's just got to be a hero here. And someone
at the I end need of the day, a hero.
You just need to step up and just
I'm
just
holding out for job. A hero till just, the end of the night. Job.
But I don't know. I mean, at this point, literally anyone can come in and just be the hero. I don't have a preference on who it is. Maybe Leo Abada will open his account on Saturday against Toronto at home in front of the bank. Or the fortress, excuse me. Like someone's gotta step up and
you
I know hope
the bank. You don't gotta dress things up.
He's a good listener. He knows that you don't like that being said on the show.
The real reason I don't like it is because what if Bank of America folds tomorrow and they go get sponsored by somebody else. You shouldn't name the nickname of the stadium. It shouldn't be tied to the sponsor, but keep going.
If Bank of America folds, we're going to have bigger issues than that.
Very good point.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show, John Hayes, Danny Brams, of course. Daniel Brackett is here as well.
I know you got one more rant, Johnny, before we're done.
I've got one more rant. Go ahead. Play the clip.
We got to get into, yes, we lost. Yes, we woke up with egg on our face, pie in the face, whatever. But ultimately, Caleb Porter still did not cover himself in glory this week. And so we want to just play the whole discourse over promising the win, El Promiso, this, that, and the other thing. Let's hear what Caleb Porter had to say after the game. And then, Johnny, I want to hear your reaction, all right?
I know there's a lot that was kind of made about the promise that was said, and it was kind of a comment that was made there. But can you just talk about like how, I mean, fulfilling that promise in front of the fans and getting that first win today?
Yeah, to be honest with you, if you listened to the, I don't know if you guys actually listened to it. It was, I used the wrong word, but it was totally out of context. Totally out of context. I would never promise or guarantee a win. It was a throwaway comment at the end of a radio show, and I used the wrong word. I told Dean that right before the game. I would never promise or guarantee, you know, I've been in this league, you can never guarantee a win. You know, it was me telling those guys, hey, I hope we win. You know, that was it. But I used the wrong word. So then you can put it in there and say it. But I certainly would never promise or guarantee a win or disrespect their team, their coach. It's not what I'm about. But I am glad we got the win.
Out of context, Johnny?
I mean, I wanted to play this at the end of the show just so we could just address the fact that Caleb Porter went on a local Boston radio station and guaranteed a win against Charlotte FC.
And then tried to play it off like he didn't.
And then after they won, he was like, well, I really don't try to disrespect anybody. They took me out of context. And, you know, I talked to Dean Smith about it. I mean, bro, give me a fucking break, dude. What you did at the end of that radio interview was guarantee a win.
Right.
And then you made it happen, and then you backtracked on it
right
after the match.
Right.
I mean, to me, it was a total bitch move. To me, it was a move that I don't want my manager to make if I'm right. playing for that team. In fact, I want my manager to go out there and say, yeah, I guaranteed a fucking win, and guess what we did?
We won. Yeah, exactly. He doesn't like. I would respect that more.
That was one of the softest things I've ever seen in professional sports. It truly is.
Especially after such a bad loss on Tuesday, him to go on the radio network and do that, and then you actually get what you wanted, and then you just – you don't – gloat in it a little bit. I would have been I gave what you wanted.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was interesting. Yeah. I don't know.
If you would have listened to the entire interview, you'd hear that it was just a throwaway comment at the end of the interview. It's like, nah, dude, you literally at the end of the interview said, I promise we're going to get a win on Saturday.
That's called a punchline, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's how is that taken out of context in any way, shape, or form?
And when you're a Major League Soccer manager who has won MLS Cup before and managed, you know, storied franchises, when you're speaking on microphone, there are no throwaway comments. You need to know that.
Yeah.
I can give throwaway comments because I'm sitting here drinking old fashions. Yeah. Caleb Porter, you do not have throwaway comments. You don't have that luxury. Sorry.
I agree. I was confused by that one.
It's one of the strangest things that I've ever. We've covered sports for a long time, at many different levels, right? We've covered some of the most famous college football coaches of all time. And
when
we've done that, right, it's like all of these coaches know that when they take a microphone and they say that we're going to guarantee a win, you create bulletin board material material. And the other reason why I wanted to play this, right, is not because Caleb Porter totally bitched out after the match and acted like he never said that, even though he won, right? It's that Charlotte FC didn't do anything about it.
Right.
Is that this was – Caleb Porter literally made – Charlotte FC's job on Saturday night so much easier in that all Dean Smith had to do was post that bulletin board material in the locker room and say, hey, guys, this team is not respecting us. This team thinks they can just waltz in.
Right.
They haven't won a game in MLS. Let's go out there and kick their fucking ass.
And instead, we played like the scared side. Frustrating.
Yeah. So I appreciate you letting me get that in at the end.
Of course. Yeah. I appreciate the work you did to just do some battery work off camera while that quote was playing. It was absolutely amazing. You should have seen it, y'all.
That's an athlete.
You know, it's one of those things that I've really tried today to keep it chill on the show, keep it cool. And
but when we get an hour deep and a couple of drinks.
The bottom line is, and I think I'll leave, I want to sign off with this today, is that this as a whole just isn't anywhere close to good enough.
Correct. Unacceptable loss.
Unacceptable. You can use that word if you want. You can use that phrase. I don't care how you put it. But for me specifically, this just is not anywhere near close to good enough for one of the best, if not the best, fan bases in MLS.
Hell yeah.
3 points. Saturday. I hope he promises it.
Herdman's too smart to promise it, but, you know.
No, we need Dean to promise 3 points for Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The reverse card.
Yeah. All right. Now I'm picking up what you're putting down. Yeah. I'm loving it.
Yeah. So it's the match is Saturday. It's against Toronto. We're going to be at Hop Fly, of course.
Of course.
Charlotte Soccer Show presented by Hop Fly Brewing Company. And we're going to have a pregame show at 5 o'clock there at Hop Fly.
Can't wait.
It's going to be a great Saturday here in town. There's so many home matches coming up. Make sure that you make Hop Fly your home for your pregame tailgate. It's a great place to be on a Saturday match day, isn't it, though?
It really is. It's going to be fun. I think this week there's a strong potential for this to be the best pregame party of the year for me personally, just for myriad reasons. But I think that you got to show up. And I just want to give a little bit of a spiel to anyone. Thank you to the thousands of you who are still listening around the world. We really appreciate it. I want to say, follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you don't already. Share it with a friend. We're going to have Thursday, we're going to have a preview episode. We're going to bring in someone else from Apple. Apple always does a good job of introducing us to new friends that we like to introduce to you and go into the video vault. Wednesday, there's going to be players talking. We're going to be publishing shorts material from that. We're going to be putting player sound out there for you. Thursday, Dean's going to speak. We're going to decode the presser. We're going to do it all like this. If you love this team, this is the free YouTube channel that gives you more of this team than you could ever possibly even consume. It's like a full-time job watching this channel sometimes, but you can take or leave as much of it as you want. Just give us the subscribes, give us the likes, give us the shares, because I don't make this plea that often, but it's a little bit strong today because I just feel like we are doing everything we can to make this club accessible for everybody out there, and we love it, and we just want love to be shown everywhere.
That was a much better rant than my rant was, for what it's worth.
What can I say?
You know, and I've got great news for you, Danny, is that Anna Whitty, who is not here today,
someone that
we love on the show, she had a great weekend down in Charleston, talked to her today. She said that she wanted to get in on the Thursday show.
I love it.
She wanted to do the preview, so we can expect her to maybe join us for our Apple interview and do a preview show on Thursday. So Anna Whitty will be back with us this week, and Daniel Brackett, one of the co-hosts of the Full-Time Roundup podcast. It's been a pleasure having you on the show today. What's your content schedule look like this week? The Premier League is obviously, the title race is absolutely insane, and we've got Champions League quarterfinals this week. The soccer is glorious right now.
It's coming thick and fast as we're on the final sprint of the European calendar here. We'll be coming out with an episode tonight, Sunday. And then
are you emotionally prepared for that episode to deal with this Liverpool Man U situation?
I'm glad we had some therapy here, at least on Charlotte FC. Right. I've had
both your teams lost this weekend.
To digest a little bit.
A draw that feels like a loss.
It was a tough weekend for me sports wise. So I'm going to put that out there. But it's been a pleasure with you guys, and thank you so much for having me.
I love your work on Full Time Roundup. I love, if you're into the gambling, Danny dabbles in that a little bit, likes to give a few picks. So follow Full Time Roundup on YouTube as well, and follow them on all your podcast platforms as well.
Yeah, our friend Matt Keslin, great friend of the show.
Yes,
he's the co-host. You can hear him on that show as well. You can see his photography.
Right.
I think he's shooting a match on Saturday night against Toronto, so he'll be in the house doing that as well. He was out with training with you this past Thursday.
Yeah, we got the hot off the presses Abada training shots. So we had Abada fan accounts on Instagram were like DMing me like, hey, did you guys get any pics of Abada at training today? We need him for the content. And I was like, well, make sure you tag Matt Keslin, and then maybe talk to him about a little finder's fee on some of those pics as well. Who knows?
It feels like a really rough Sunday, but take a look outside. It's springtime in Charlotte.
Right. Spring is in the air.
It's that time of the year, and Charlotte FC is going to have a ton of home matches here. And I think we can just call it as we see it. You got to call a spade, and it's that Charlotte FC is really, really poor on the road. Yeah, it's the third season. They've been that way now for 2+ years. But Charlotte FC is very, very good at home. It's 13 straight, unbeaten at home, at the Fortress, the Keep. We are protecting the Keep, and this team has a chance to go and get another win on Saturday against Toronto to
get right back on the train.
To get revenge already this season against a team that they lost to, a team that they probably should have at least drawn or on the road in Insigne, Toronto.
Who won't be there this time.
The following week, we're going to get a match at home against Cincinnati. The Pookie party comes to Charlotte. Let's see if we can ruin Timo Pookie, his return.
Fin to win, baby.
So as much as it feels like today is a down day for Charlotte FC supporters, pick yourself up, right? Monday morning is coming. It's another match week. Mm-hmm. There's a huge match against Toronto on Saturday. We're going to be at Hot Fly. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for producing everything today, Danny. It's been a fun show.
Bro.
A great show.
I wouldn't have any other way, man. Thanks for everybody that watched. Like, the fact of the matter is, after the tag to that rant that I forgot to add is, the only reason that makes this worth doing is the fact that there's so many people watching, so many people coming to connect with us at parties. I've made actual friends I hang out with now. They're people that I never would have met without doing this show. So just let's keep that rolling, baby.
Thank you all, Tifos. Well, we'll see y'all this week. We got a lot of content coming, and we'll see y'all Saturday at Hot Fly. And it's always Danny Braps.
Let's give it to Danny Brackets this time.
For the crown, baby.